Last year was the 150th anniversary of Thanksgiving officially being proclaimed a federal holiday. It's a shame that it's degenerated to the start of the holiday shopping season. It's even more of a shame that it is just about being thankful. I heard an interview last year on Catholic radio of a woman who worked in a secular bookstore. She was stocking the holiday books and noticed that all books on Thanksgiving were only about being thankful. Book after book might have told the story of the first Thanksgiving and might have gushed about the need for thankfulness and even things to be thankful for, but not one mention whom we were to be thankful to. Think about it. Didn't you grow up in school tracing your hand and cutting a turkey out of it? And of course, wasn't Thanksgiving all about being thankful to God? You can't say that anymore. Moreover, it's perfectly acceptable to leave it not only unsaid, but unthought of. You really can be thankful, deeply, deeply thankful to absolutely nothing. But Thanksgiving without a who is not Thanksgiving, but thumb-sucking. G.K. Chesterton said something like that. He said as he didn't believe a baby got its physical nourishment by sucking his own thumb, so a man doesn't get his moral food by sucking his own soul. Well, how does a man do that? By denying his dependence upon God. Not being thankful to anything outside of yourself leaves you turned in on yourself. Luther said that whoever or whatever you gave thanks to, that's your God. Think about that. How many times do you begin a sentence thankfully? When you do that, you haven't even reached the level of Norman Greenbaum. You haven't even reached the spirit in the sky. Now and again, we'll recognize the hollowness of saying thankfully, and we'll say, thank goodness. Now the indeterminate becomes something abstract, and goodness is your God. We say, thank goodness, thinking we're saying something spiritual, but it's you're not Christian. You can't pray, our goodness who art in heaven, or, oh goodness, protect me, or, I pray goodness my soul to take. So when the agnostic, atheistic, non-religious, doesn't believe in God person sits down to the Thanksgiving table, where does he see his food as coming from? Well, he could see it as Mother Nature's bounty. He could see it more impersonally as the laws of nature's bounty. So he's either a Native American Indian or he's a 19th century naturalist. Either the sun god, rain god, and earth god got together to bring him the meal, or the laws of natural selection and the survival of the fittest got together using random mutation and time to bring him a turkey with all the trimmings. Rather than being a Native American or a naturalist, I would rather be Bart Simpson. He famously prayed on a Thanksgiving episode, November 22nd, 1990, "Dear God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing." That shocked a lot of people, me included. But at least the unspoken antagonism toward God was out in the open. And at least Bart heard a who. That comes from Dr. Seuss's 1954 book, Horton Hears a Who. The book tells the story of Horton the elephant, who while splashing about in a pool, hears a small speck of dust talking to him. Horton surmises that a small person lives on that speck and places it on a clover, vowing to protect it. He later discovers that the speck is actually a tiny planet, home to a community called Whoville, where microscopic creatures called Whos live. The mayor of Whoville asks Horton to protect them from harm, which Horton happily agrees to, proclaiming throughout the book that a person's a person no matter how small. Now, in light of legalizing abortion 19 years later, this last part is ironic. In terms of Thanksgiving, in terms of Bart Simpson's prayer, and the lack of a who being thanked today, the book's instructive. Bart's prayer at least acknowledges the unseen God. He denies he has a right to thanks, but at least he has heard the who when few others do. Do you hear the who of Thanksgiving? I'm sure most, if not all of you, do. Where do you hear him? Do you hear the who in the good things, in the bounty, in the success? Well, even pagans can hear that much. 5th century BC historian Herodotus said, "It was the Athenians who, after the gods, drove back the Persian king." The pagans also know that good things, while they can lift one's thoughts out of them yourself, they can draw you away from God. Juvenal, a 1st century Roman writer, said, Now we are suffering all the evils of a long-continued peace. Luxury, more ruthless than war, broods over Rome and exacts vengeance. 1,500 years before that, Moses warned, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you'll forget the Lord your God. You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.'" 1,000 years after that, Hosea warns, "I cared for you in the desert, in the land burning with heat. When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud, and they forgot me." Strangely enough, we forget that our country's Thanksgiving began not only knowing a who, but thanking not for bounty, but for barely enough. Thanksgiving-type festivals are very old. Ancient Greece had them, as well as ancient Rome. The English Harvest Home Festival also predates the Pilgrims' Thanksgiving. All those earlier celebrations celebrated plenty. America's came after only a single year of growth. The Pilgrims didn't give thanks for plenty over years, but for the scanty yield of one. And also, did you notice when exactly Thanksgiving was proclaimed a national holiday? 1863. During the depths of the Civil War, after the 1863 battles of Chancellorsville, Vicksburg, and Gettysburg. Did you also catch that I said America's first Thanksgiving heard a who? Lincoln's Declaration thanked our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Since Scripture says the only way you can really know God as Father is through having God the Son as your brother, this could be taken as distinctively Christian. Frankly, though, I'm not sure if that's how Lincoln meant it, since he often talked of the God of Providence in generic terms. Writings connected to the Pilgrims' Thanksgiving also specifically mentioned God. Definitely throughout the 20th century, most people would have said the who being thanked is God, but that was never enough. Oh, it's better than thanking self, better than thanking the gods of nature or the laws of nature. But you're only thanking a God, not the God. And only the unimprisoned soul can thank the true God. That's what David says in Psalm 142, verse 7. "Bring my soul out of prison, so that I may give thanks to thy name." You and I are born in prison. Our wills are bound to think, to do, to say only evil. Our very first thoughts are only evil. We can naturally do only what Adam did after he sinned. Not thank God, but run away and hide from him because we're afraid. Out of our heart only flows sin and evil and thick, dark unthankfulness. We can be made to say thank you, even as a jailer can make his prisoner say it. But only one freed from prison can give thanks. God the Father sent His Son with the key. Actually, He sent the Son into our jail cell. But before doing our time, which ended in the death penalty, Jesus first lived our lives. Read the scriptures. How many times did Jesus pray, "I thank you, Father"? He is God in flesh and blood, and yet He receives God's bounty and God's hardships with thanksgiving. So Jesus never should have been in our cell to begin with, but He was. And while it ended gloriously for us, it ended badly for Him. You have probably never been this angry before. You've probably never said, "Why, you ungrateful little brat," to a child. You've probably never said in anger to anyone, "Is that how you show your thanks?" You probably never felt the white hot rage when someone, even just a dog, bit your hand while feeding him. Since you've never experienced how fast, how intense vengeance can well up towards ingratitude, you cannot imagine what Jesus endured to get you out of prison. He suffered, He bled, He cried, He died, He was damned for every time you forgot to thank God for food, for every time you thank goodness, for every time you were content to share with someone that you were thankful without pointing out to them to who. Since God says He makes the rain to fall and His sun to shine on the just and on the unjust, anyone can have a measure of thanks to Him in a generic sort of way. But only the soul freed from the prison of certain death and damnation can fully see the who and the all. The Lord doesn't just give you rain and sunshine, food and drink, clothing and shoes, house and family. He gives you all. He gives you His only beloved Son, His entire body, His entire blood, His sweat, His tears. He gives you all of Him to free you from your prison of guilt, to free you from your cell of death, to free you from your jail of shame. And since all the fullness of not only heaven and earth, but God Himself dwells bodily in this Jesus, when God gives you Jesus, He gives you all. The person who has everything and God in Christ has no more than the person who only has God in Christ. Hear God in Christ in every dewdrop, every teardrop, every feast, every famine. Hear God in Christ in everything that is on your Thanksgiving table and in everything that is not. Don't make this national holiday about 1 year of blessing. God in Christ didn't redeem you for just this. He has something far bigger and better in mind. The challenge is to hear His still small voice in all of this, in every bit of it, without bounty drowning out the who and without bane denying the who. You're not just thankful. You're thankful to a who. And if that who is God in Christ, you're thankful for everything, because everything is yours and it's yours as a blessing. Amen.